The Mersey Community Hospital is going to be doing some major redevelopment works, valued at around $20.7 million, which is great for the area.
Certainly is, Martin, and you'll know very well in the past there's been a lot of conjecture about the Mersey, and some people use it as a political football and for their own purposes, but we at Council are really pleased to see continued redevelopment of the hospital, additional facilities, upgrade of other facilities, and really pleasing to see the government has continued that investment into health services, not only in our region, but also into the northwest. So,
well, it's an additional endoscopy unit, redeveloped day procedure unit, expansions of recovery and theatre spaces, expanded outpatient clinics, new and upgraded staff facilities, new and upgraded building services and equipment. It'll involve partial ground and first floor demolition, a new extension to the northern facade, I should say, of Block C and the main entry on the Bass Highway side. Two new story extensions located west between Block C and Block D. On the Torquay Road side, you can see where the $20 million has gone.
Absolutely.
Or is going, I should say.
Yeah, as I say, it's terrific that investment's being continually poured into the hospital, the upgrades, and particularly for the staff. That's, that they are able to see their facilities being upgraded. That's certainty about their employment and their ability to provide the healthcare that our region deserves.
Last time we spoke about the installation of parking and speed parking restrictions and speed humps, not parking restrictions, parking additions and speed humps along South Esplanade at Hawley or Port Sorell?
No, it's at Port Sorell.
Port Sorell,
along
yeah.
Muddy Creek.
Yeah, and so basically the reason we're raising it again is because anyone wants any input into it, it closes on Wednesday.
It does, and we're really
not tomorrow, next Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. We're really keen to have input from local residents or people. Some concerns. It is a very important area. Muddy Creek's a beautiful, beautiful place, and I love to go walking along there, but it's important to the local community as well. So whatever upgrades we do, whatever formalisation of parking we do, or we plan to do, we'd like to make sure that we don't ruin the aesthetics of the area and those things that people actually value. So the sooner and the more, I guess, detailed input we can have from our local community, the better off we'll be, and hopefully we get a really good outcome with that project.
So talking about installing a few bollards, improving parking capacity and speed humps as well, and it's not just, I mean, you're looking for comment from people affected by it directly, but also people who holiday there and may have an opinion on it as well.
Absolutely, mate, and many, many people visit that area, particularly with the coffee shop along the Esplanade.
So comments need to be directed to council@latrobe.tas.gov.au, and again, as mentioned, they close on Wednesday.
That's it.
The second course of dog obedience training at Latrobe is going to be held on Sunday, May the 2nd. This has been pretty popular, hasn't it?
It has, and it's been really, as you say, popular but well attended. People really appreciate the opportunity to have their dogs educated. We as a council really encourage dog owners to have their dogs educated and schooled so that they cause less issues, not only for their owners but for the wider public. And it's a great initiative, and we'll continue to provide that opportunity. But please, dog owners, take the opportunity, be responsible, and give your pets the opportunity to grow and develop.
It's a six-week course. I guess there's a fee involved, Peter, but when the people finish it, they receive a canine obedience certificate, and that also gives them a discount on dog rego with the council.
Yeah, so there's monetary benefits as well, as you say, in terms of the discount, but the benefits are very much for the owners and their pets at home and when they're out and about. So, yeah, as I say, we really encourage participation in that course and very happy to provide it.
More details on the council website, latrobe.tas.gov.au. Peter, we know that the JobKeeper payments are going to run out at the end of the month, and we know that the viability of a lot of small businesses have been put to the test with COVID, but the Latrobe Council has got something called the Economic Development Committee. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've got a team of people who are really focused on economic development in our community, and we're engaging a consultant who's worked with the Northern Midlands community down there, the business community, and we're putting together a whole, range of opportunities, but the key to that is to ensure our business community is able to network, is able to, work together to ensure that their voices are heard, that there are opportunities that are taken up, that there are initiatives that can be followed through on, and they are provided some form of, connection, not only to each other, but also to council. And so the business group in Latrobe will be formed and will be well-structured, well-supported by council, we're really hoping to get some great outcomes there, not only for, as I say, the businesses, but for our community more widely.
We're talking basically about a Chamber of Commerce here.
Yeah, it's less formal than that, Martin, and many times I've spoken to businesses in our town and in Port Sorell about that, and the formality of a Chamber of Commerce sometimes scares people, and with all due respect to the Chamber of Commerce, but this is just an informal, I guess, attempt to bring business together, and who knows what might eventuate. Maybe we will form a Chamber of Commerce. Maybe they'll choose to do that, or they'll choose to continue as what's planned at the moment. But people within the business sector will drive this, and that's the key, that local people, local businesses are the key drivers, and they'll make whatever they can of this opportunity.
Okay, again, more details are on the council website. The Banksia Stadium has got a new floor covering. This is pretty nifty, actually, because you can put it over the top of the playing surface of the stadium, and you can use it for all sorts of things.
Absolutely, Martin. And I know it might not be a big deal, but in terms of the utilisation of that asset out at Port Sorell, it is a big deal. It opens up the opportunity to have all sorts of community events, markets, school functions and the like, but at the same time not damage the floor, which is critical to the sports groups that use the stadium for their activities. So what we're trying to do is, as I say, improve utilisation and make that an asset for the whole community, not just the sporting groups that currently use it.
It's pretty state-of-the-art, this one you've got. Actually, it's one of only two in Australia, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's what we're told by the supplier, and I have no reason to disbelieve that. And so it is an expense, there's no question about that, but I think it's money well spent to improve, as I say, access to that area by all sorts of community groups, the schools, the camps who use Camp Banksia, and the like. So asset utilisation is really a key priority for council.
On the subject of Camp Banksia, Peter, there's been suggestions recently in the media that the council has contravened its own planning scheme by accommodating migrant seasonal workers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, there's been a... When you say a comment in the media, I guess it's been driven by one person. And I guess what frustrates me about that, Martin, is that the fundamental issues are often lost in all that rhetoric and all that publicity that's been driven. So my concern is that, you know, if that property that we're talking about had been compliant with planning, with building, with plumbing, with environmental health provisions at the time when seasonal workers were accommodated there, you and I wouldn't be having this discussion. There wouldn't be the fanfare over the airwaves, and the focus would be quite rightly on ensuring seasonal workers are accommodated appropriately within our community. That's what council's concern was. We had an independent building surveyor assess the property. The report came back clearly indicating the people who were housed there were at risk, and at such a risk the council could not ignore that report, and the general manager took the view that an emergency evacuation order was required. We undertook to support the general manager in that. Eventually those people were evacuated and found alternative accommodation, but everything that's been on the air since has been about that issue. And it is paramount that those people are given the opportunity to be provided with accommodation that is safe, to support our agri-businesses.
So the thinking behind providing accommodation at Camp Banksia was basically that there was nowhere else suitable.
And I've been very clear in everything I've said about that. We would not, as a councillor, have considered that request had there been available, suitable accommodation in the private sector. That's in a nutshell. We would not have considered it. But it's people aren't blind. They aren't stupid. They understand that at the moment we're in a crisis in providing support for our agribusinesses and our community, particularly in orchards right now. So council is obligated to provide assistance to those sectors of the community that are disadvantaged by the COVID and everything related to it. We have taken a strong stance, and we are going to support those businesses. But I doubt there's anybody who wouldn't suggest council should support agribusinesses by providing that accommodation for seasonal workers. That is paramount.
Okay. Let's move on from that, Peter. The Latrobe Visitor Information Centre is reopened now. It has been open for a couple of months, actually.
It has, and full credit to those people who staff that for us. It's a great option for people calling into our town and visiting our area to gather information about the area, see where they might like to visit or eat or stay and the like. And again, as I say, we're really grateful to volunteers for the knowledge and the experience that they impart to our visitors. And really encourage anybody who's visiting the Trobe or the greater regional area to call in there and say hello, gather information and really enhance their trip.
It's open from 9 to 4 Monday to Friday, 11 to 3 on Saturday, Sundays from 9 to 3 and also public holidays. How are they off for volunteers, Peter? Are they doing okay at the moment, do you know?
We can always do with more. We have, a core group who have been there for a number of years and really we rely on. Ideally, we would have more volunteers to, ease the pressure and the commitment levels. And we're always open to additional volunteers putting their hand up and becoming part of that group.
Okay, if you're interested, contact the council. Peter, thanks for your time today, as always. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it, Martin. Thank you.